Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Our guest today is somebody who does some stuff that we have never had on the podcast. And I know that's probably a terrible opening, but I'm super excited. I had an opportunity to meet Jody Moore. She's the founder of Connecting Growth Globally through a friend of ours here at Top Advisor Marketing. Her name is Cheryl Brown, and many of you know who she is. She's created an unbelievably powerful group of very successful women within financial services and helping all of them connect. And I had an opportunity to meet Jody. I was just utterly fascinated with her story and what she does and really what her life looks like. So I'm super happy to have her on the podcast today so that she can talk to you about really what global leadership is and what connecting growth globally means. I want to remind you that she has a CFA and a CFP. So obviously her level of intelligence supersedes mine exponentially. And so we're going to unpack who she is and what she does for all of you today. So Jody, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt. Great to be here.
All right. Let's just start with a little bit of history. How did you get to where you are today? And then tell us a little bit about where you are today.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll start. I'm a fellow Midwesterner. So I grew up in Wisconsin and went to school in Chicago. And I decided that if I was going to work in financial services industry, I might as well try out New York. And I went to JP Morgan and I was part of this training program, which was great because I had no idea financial services. What will I do? What's the difference between investment management and investment banking? I fell into investment management there. I fell in love with it, which is one of the reasons, thankfully, very early in my career, I decided to go for my CFA. Glad I did that in my early 20s. And I took this first job in the mutual fund group, really because everybody said that they were really big and important and growing, right? So I figured, well, good to be in that part of the organization. I interviewed with this woman who was my boss and ran the group, and I found her fascinating, challenging, and I just said, well, showing up every day to work in an organization I like and working for somebody who is going to challenge me and teach me a lot in an industry that seems to be big and growing sounds great. So that's where I got my start in investment management. I kind of pivoted and did a couple of different things along the way, but really what I did was move myself towards global investing. That became my passion. Whether I was at, you know, JP Morgan, a big organization, or later in my career, I moved to focus specifically on emerging markets at Matthews Asia. And so that's all Matthews did was invest in the emerging economies across Asia. And I led our sales, marketing, product, those initiatives there, and really grew us from a smaller mid-sized company to a more sizable one today. But I learned there that I have the secret love for helping people see the world differently. It really changes their perspective. And that really parlays into what I do now in connecting growth globally. So it's through my writing, through my investing, through my coaching and leading of global leadership trips. I really use that those experiences like global travel to challenge people to think differently.
When you're challenging people to think differently, is it because they're not in line with what they want to be spiritually, personally, or professionally? Or help me understand why somebody would seek you out. Why would they say, Jody, I need you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I use the term success coach. Here's why. I kind of see it almost this hybrid between, you know, executive coaching, which I always feel has this moniker, you know, you're hired, you know, your company gets a coach for you and helps you be a better executive. And then life coaching, which is more personal. But I just believe that the personal and professional, they're all one thing. And I think I say this from my own personal experience. You know, in my 20s, I was kind of checking all the boxes and doing all the professional things I was supposed to do. And I had a personal life. I never brought it right to my work. And so I think when people come and seek me out, they reach some point where they are out of alignment, right? Because they've been probably like me, you know, focused on who they are professionally. And then all this other side of themselves is there and they're not addressing it. And they know they need to fix it and they just don't know how.
And you do that by helping open up their eyes to a more global perspective. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, it's interesting. I love leading by example. I think that's really important. So I spent years trying to figure out my own why. And for me, it's very much global, right? Because when I put myself in awkward experiences that make me think differently about, you know, how I live my life, how things work in my own country, how I invest, you know, it changes me. So global works for me, right? It's a big part of my why. For other people, it may be different, but to the extent that they use an experience, like attending a global leadership trip, to think differently about what's going on in their life, it's really powerful because we're all there too. I mean, part of it is kind of what we see and who we talk to and what we experience in a place. Part of it is the group, right? The group dynamic. So in my last trip, I had individuals in their every age cohort, 20s to 70s. And how they all learned from each other was fascinating. And this was a little strange. I didn't expect this, but like people came back and like, I quit my job. I decided to retire. I moved to another continent. A lot of big things happened because I think we were in that awkward, challenging, you know, out of our comfort zone place and sought the advice and comfort of each other.
I'm so glad that you ended with that. The finding the comfort, you know, in the group, because when you are challenging somebody to step outside of their comfort zone, if there isn't some sort of a net or a net might not be the right thing, but support group, it can be even scarier. How do you create that culture in that group to provide that level of support?
Yeah, it's something I really focus on, and you know, hopefully I'm going to get better and better at it over time. So a lot of it is I don't wait till we go on a trip. In that case, it all starts pre-trip, and I connect people together. Now we are often coming from, so far it's everybody's from the U.S. So we're in different cities across the U.S., but ultimately, you know, I want people from all around the world attending these trips. So we pull each other together in different forums. I'll kind of put together little groups, whether it's, you know, WhatsApp, via email. We may focus on a particular topic. We may read a book that gets us, you know, around a theme of something we're going to experience in this particular place. I put together a yearbook before each trip. So I ask these questions of individuals, and they're fun questions. Like, you know, if you had 30 days to travel anywhere in the world, where would you go? Right? Like those types of big picture questions. And I pull all the answers together pre-trip, right? So everybody kind of comes to the trip already feeling like they know each other a bit. And so of course, then the trip really bonds us as travel does for most people. And then after the trip too, I mean, we're connected again via social media groups, and I still continue that connection. I call what I do not like, you know, you go on a trip and then you go home and it ends. Like each individual who joins one trip actually joins this community that I'm trying to build out that's just going to grow and grow exponentially over time. So I connect that broader community of people.
Jody, tell me a little bit more about the trips themselves. Like, how many people go? You know, really, are there more professions than others who like to do this? Just tell us a little bit more about the trips, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, I launched this last year. So I did my first trip to Tanzania. It's a week long. And I try and limit the number to 10 or 12 individuals. I had 10 individuals on that trip plus myself, which actually worked out great, I feel, as a number. Big enough, you know, but not too big. And people came from different industries. I had an old friend of mine from JP Morgan days who actually came on the trip with her daughter in her 20s, which was fascinating. And I love that idea of it could be a parent child on an upcoming trip. I have an aunt who's bringing her niece with her on a trip. I thought that was really fascinating to have the different generations. I have some people, a number of people that come from financial services, not too surprising given my background. I had one woman who was actually sponsored by her firm. She worked for a firm, an advisory firm that was focused on impact investing. And her CEO said, you know what, I want you to take this trip. I want you to travel with Jody because you can travel with me, but I want you to travel with different people like Jody so you see it from her side, like she's going to do things from a different angle than I would. And it will better allow you to understand the work, the things that our clients are thinking about, right, in terms of impact investing globally. It'll make you closer to the client experience. So I thought that was really cool that a CEO, right, of this advisory firm sponsored an employee.
Yeah.
So those are a couple examples.
Let's talk about the impact investing aspect of it. I mean, how does that play? Because you're involved in that too, aren't you?
I am. So I, when I left my job at Matthews and I said, okay, I want to, you know, I founded Connecting Growth Globally. And one of the things is I wanted to invest for myself. And I was intrigued by the idea of impact investing. But what the heck is it, right?
Like, yeah, totally.
And I'm, you know, I've been around a while, but I still didn't exactly know. Most importantly, I didn't know what it meant for me. And so for me, you know, I decided I really wanted to focus on emerging economies, specifically companies in East Africa that focus on the missing middle, right? You have growing middle class, you have growing companies, but capital does not flow freely, right? And so it's above microfinance, but not the huge businesses that, you know, have the banking relationships. So I love impact investment opportunities that address that missing middle need. So that's kind of my, again, my personal focus. I want everybody to think about their money and their values, right? I want all of us to have a philosophy of investing for impact, but, you know, yours, Matt, might be the environment, right? And
sure,
something very, very different. So I just use mine as an example. It's certainly something I weave into the trips. You know, for example, one of the companies I invest in Rwanda went through an accelerator, like a training program, and got to know a founder of a company in Tanzania that was a really neat kind of a edutainment type of company working with the children of Tanzania. And so we met, that was one of the companies we visited on the trip. Think of Sesame Street in Tanzania. That's what it was like.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I like the idea of, and I guess maybe this is a point of ignorance and you can hopefully educate me on this, but it would seem to me that it would be easier to want to be involved with socially responsible investing, environmentally impacting investing, or anything that is a little bit more of a really serious philosophy. If you leave the country and take a look at what we have and gain some perspective, tell us about one of those aha moments that happened with one of your guests on these trips that might highlight that.
Yeah, actually, so in Tanzania, they're not there yet, but a lot of countries in East Africa are putting countrywide bans on plastic bags. And so Rwanda did this, I want to say over a decade ago. Kenya just implemented it last year. And two people who came to Tanzania, they had been in Rwanda right before that. And they said, Jody, did you know we could not bring plastic bags anywhere? We couldn't bring them into the country. You will get fined. You don't see them around in the stores. And, you know, they were going on and on about plastic in particular, but also, you know, other things that Rwanda is doing that are very environmentally friendly. Now, Rwanda is this great example because it's a country of, you know, 10 million people. So it's a much smaller version of what we have in the United States. But it does make you, I mean, when you experience that, you come home and I start having conversations with my husband about why are we buying the plastic water, right? The plastic bottled water. Mm-hmm. Let's just get rid of that in our life. So I think it's sometimes you don't have to make this whole full blown change, but you know, you experience something and you come back and you do something small that makes a difference.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I wish there was another way that people could gain some more of that perspective. But You know, well, you've got a wonderful solution. Let's talk about how our listeners could get involved in taking one of these trips.
Sure. Well, my website is connectinggrowthglobally.com, and I have a whole section on there on global leadership trips. In fact, I'm going to Cambodia, Matt, in just 4 days.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. And that is to do more research for a future trip. So that will be on the docket next year. And then we'll be returning to Tanzania with a group. I have 4 spots left, but we'll be returning to Tanzania in October of this year. So a number of things will be similar to last year's trip, where we visited companies ranging from Uber to this edutainment company I talked about. We met with USAID. We did site visits with Room to Read. So we really did a deep dive into education, which is so important when you have this, you know, really young country. And so we'll do a number of those things again. One new angle I want to bring into the next trip, and it stems from some people I met, is a little bit on in the entertainment industry. I have a new friend who's a fabulous musician and character in that space, and then also media. I mean, given there's all kinds of restrictions on media in a place like Tanzania. Media is something we are talking a lot about here now, right? The role of the media. And so while they will be two very different things, I just think it's fascinating when you kind of take what you know and what you're grappling with here at home, and then you go to a new country and you test it out. So I'm really anxious to spend some time with this journalist.
Now, this whole global leadership stuff and all of that is really just one aspect of who you are, because people can also hire you to help them figure out that why and then where to take it from there. Can you talk to us a little bit about a little bit more about your coaching and sure. Like an ideal client, like who are you really looking for? Because we have a pretty broad audience here, and I would love to have the opportunity to have some people hire you as a coach.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'd love that too. I always say I help people who are one, motivated. I mean, they come to me motivated. I'm not forcing coaching on people. In fact, it's interesting. I get people that reach out to me via LinkedIn, somehow find me and say, and read through my profile and say, wow, I feel like I know you and you would be the best person to help me. So one, that they're motivated, they're curious, they're like willing to like dive in and, you know, with a partner and go through some interesting exercises and some challenging questions. Those are the right people. Most come to me wanting to make a change of some sort in their career. Hmm. What happens is that you find out that it's not just about your career, right? It is because your life and professional and your personal life are so intertwined that there might be something that they're not true to, right, in their full life, just not in their career.
Mm-hmm. That alone is a question that you all should be asking yourself after Jody just said that. You know, what aren't you being true to? And we live a very different life once we uncover that. That it's almost like an epiphany. Again, it's like one of those aha moments. Like, oh my gosh, where has this been for right. most of my life? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. Again, it stems from my own story. So I worked with a coach back in the early 2000s. So actually I was, you know, why I hired this individual, I hired him because I was planning to transition my investment management career to becoming a financial advisor.
Oh,
and yeah, that's why I got the CFP as well. But working with him, and I went through a lot of the tools that are still my favorite tools today, because they work, right? And I know from my own experience. And so I remember, though, I was very practical. I said, you know, I wanted him to help me, and how do I, you know, set up a business plan, a transition, and how do I think about this? And one of the things that was driving me crazy is that I had like 2 spreadsheets. And one was, I had been with the man who is now my husband for a number of years, and we own a house together, but you know, I wasn't fully sure where the relationship was going. I wasn't 100%. So I kind of have one spreadsheet if this is just me on my own. I had another one in terms of if this is he and I are together, right? Because kind of what I need to make in the business, it was different. according to those two scenarios. So that's a classic example of, wow, you know what my biggest impediment, the thing I really need to figure out here for my business transition is my life, something in my personal life. So that's my story.
When I talk about the lists that I had made in my life before I got married, it's funny how many people think I'm strange. You just made my entire week, Jody, because I honestly thought I was one of the only people in the world who did exactly what you just did there. I've shared that list with my now wife. We've been together. This is our 20th year this year. And it's so funny looking back on the things that I thought were such a big priority and how many of those things are still such a huge cornerstone of our relationship. You know, what gets measured gets done. If you write stuff down, it really, it affects your brain differently. In fact, there's been some wonderful studies on that. That's why list making is such a powerful tool for self-organization and accountability. Okay, so we're going to wrap up today's podcast a little bit here. What should our listeners do, right? So should they go to a website? They obviously need to connect with you on social media because your LinkedIn profile is wicked good. In fact, if you are all looking for a LinkedIn profile format and a feel that really communicates who you are very clearly and succinctly, Jody's is an amazing LinkedIn profile. So what should people do if they want to engage you on a trip or if they want to hire you as a coach or any of the other stuff that you've got going on?
Yeah, I'm going to echo you on the LinkedIn profile. It's actually one of my things that's part of all my coaching engagements too, right? Because if you want to, it's figuring out who you are and then being really public with it. And that means even LinkedIn, you know, feeding in those things that are personally important to you in your LinkedIn summary. So one thing to point everybody to is the last blog post I did, and it's also a LinkedIn article, which is titled What Most People Miss on LinkedIn. And it talks about that. So I'm kind of bringing this topic that I spend a lot of time working on people with and trying to put it in an article that helps people more broadly. So look for that. My website, connectinggrowthglobally.com, kind of touches on the two main things I do, which is my work as a success coach. And it'll also link to some articles that I'm written that, you know, this is a very personal decision. And so whether it is for you as an advisor or clients, to the extent that this might be helpful, I think there are some articles here that, you know, help figure out what type of coach is the right and if somebody like me would be the right personal fit. And please join us on a global leadership trip. So again, October 7th through the 13th, we're going to be in Tanzania again. I have 4 spots available on that trip. My website will bring you literally to the page with all the itinerary pricing descriptors of that. And if you follow along, sign up for my periodic post on my blog, you will get all the updates for the upcoming trips, which would include Cambodia. I'll learn more in a few days. And also just Vietnam, Rwanda, just to give you a sense for some of the other countries that will be included in the next year or two.
Wonderful. Well, safe travels. I hope that you have a wonderful and an eye-opening time on your trip to Cambodia. The podcast will be coming out after you get back, so I'm going to have you back on the podcast and talk a little bit more about the trip. And that would be super, super cool. And everybody, please take some time to follow Jody. There's so many reasons, but I'm going to just kind of go marketing man guy on everybody here real quick. She is a brilliant marketer. Because there's a level of transparency and clarity to her message and her online persona that very few of you have been able to dial into. If you go to her story on connectinggrowthglobally.com, if you look at her LinkedIn profile, if you read her articles, she has created this, it's like, you know who she, it's just like she said, you know who she is, right? And that way, from a sales perspective, after the marketing is successful and they're, you know, a prospect is sitting in front of you, they're going to look at you like I looked at Jody when we began, like, I know you already, right? Because I do my due diligence on all of these podcasts. I read the majority of what she's talking about. I read even more stuff from a couple of other places. And it was just so neat that I just felt like I knew her personality. I knew what this podcast was going to be like. I knew what that experience was going to be. And very few of you do that well. this is a great example for you to emulate. Just trust me, you just have to figure, you have to look at it, but it's the voice, it's the personality, it's the feeling. I was joking with Jody, and I say this with all of our podcasting guests. I use a Hemingway quote, and Hemingway said, you know, if I'm not crying when I'm writing it, they're not crying when they're reading it. And I say that to our podcast guests to make sure that the, you know, their energy's up, which Jody didn't have a problem with at all because she's freaking awesome. But your podcasts, your social media, your websites, your blogs, your communications, you need to infuse it with that emotion. And Jody is an expert at that. So Jody, thank you for being such a shining example of great marketing. I thank you for that.
Thank you, Matt.
And thank you for opening people's eyes and showing how you truly can connect more with the global, just a global worldview, how you can use that as a financial services professional with socially responsible investing and just life experience. You know, we're on this rock for not that long of a period of time. If you're not taking advantage of taking a leadership trip or you're not expanding your horizons like this, then you know what? I think you're missing a huge aspect of life. So Jody, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you. I loved it.
Jody Morris, CFA, CFP, founder of Connecting Growth Globally. Please check out the website. We'll make sure that we have all of the links in the show notes. So make sure you click on those as soon as you can after you've listened to the podcast. If you have not subscribed, subscribe. If you have not shared this podcast, share it with a friend or family. And even better, please take a moment to give us a quick review on iTunes specifically. So for everybody at Connecting Growth Globally and all of us at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Hallern, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.